Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. You may recall the HBO fan favorite TV show Deadwood. Well, this spring the show returns for one final experience and a presentation tomorrow at noon at the Homestake Adams Research and Cultural Center in Deadwood has Chris Wimmer talking about the long-awaited conclusion of the iconic television show. Wimmer is co-owner of Black Barrel Media and creator of Legends of the Old West and Infamous America podcasts. The presentation will compare and contrast the TV show with the true events of Deadwood history. Chris Wimmer joins us now on the phone. Hey, Chris, welcome.
Hey, how are you? Thank you.
I'm doing all right. All right. For people who are not quite the fans of Deadwood because it was sort of canceled after three seasons, as they are some other TV shows, which everyone's talking about right now, tell us a little bit about this upcoming sort of TV experience and what the creators of the fictional show are trying to do for fans.
Yeah, it's actually a really interesting, long-awaited experience. Like you said, the TV show was canceled very abruptly, kind of without warning, about 13 years ago. And ever since then, fans have been clamoring for some kind of resolution. And there were various concepts of what that would be, whether it was going to be a six-episode miniature season or maybe two-hour movies was a theory that was thrown out there to bring it all to a conclusion. But as time passed and the actors and the cast and crew moved on to different projects, you know, all of those options fell by the wayside. But the creator, David Milch, kept the kind of dream alive, and he wrote a single standalone film that really doesn't tie into the TV show. It's a single standalone storyline that is a way to just bring as many of the characters back into the world of Deadwood as possible, and then try to maybe bring some resolution and try to settle some old scores and some old grudges that were held over from the show in whatever way is now possible, given the fact that it's been 13 years since the show was on air.
So what as someone who has studied film, you really see here this idea of people saying, you know, you left us mid-narrative and we can't handle that. What is this sort of the way this is unfolding tell you about how people connect with story?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. And I posed a somewhat similar question to one of the actors of the show, W. Earl Brown, who plays Dan Doherty. I was very fortunate to be able to go out to Los Angeles and interview him about this movie and how this whole thing came to be. And one of the things I brought up to him was that when you watch the TV show, it's not a what you might consider a traditional TV show where there's a very straightforward plot and all the characters are moving in the same direction to achieve this big goal. The show was about community. It was just about the everyday storylines that affect these characters and how they interact. And it really was just about this town and this community and the people within it. And I think that's what drew legions of fans, that the fans then also became surrogate members of the community. Mm-hmm. They kind of lived and breathed the world of Deadwood along with the characters, because it was just really about surviving and about all the, you know, the brutality and the machinations and everything that went into surviving the chaos of early lawless Deadwood. And I think that's what really drew people in. And then when that was just taken away and the cord was cut abruptly, it just left everyone hanging. And they now have this void that they wanted to fill. And so the void has just been there for 13 years until now we're going to get a little piece of it filled.
All right, so let's talk about that world of Deadwood, because, you know, there's a real Deadwood right here in South Dakota, and you're doing a presentation to sort of tell people, you know, what the show got, in quotations, right, as far as the history and what hasn't been covered yet. Why is Deadwood so captivating for, you know, for lovers of history, for the people who live here in the state, and, you know, for filmmakers and storytellers?
Yeah, I think that's interesting too, that it's, I think what captivated David Milch, the creator of the series, is probably what captivates a lot of people, that the town itself originated as an illegal settlement. And so there was a time period where it existed with no law and anything went. And so it was kind of chaos. And one of the things you'll hear about as you read interviews with David Milch and other cast members, they will say that the kind of organizing principle of the show was to show how a community evolved out of chaos, how order derived from chaos. And so I think showing that unique part of American history is what has brought many filmmakers back to it. And then, of course, you know, beyond just the big pivotal moments of Wild Bill Hickok dying in Deadwood, and, you know, some of the figures that went on to be very iconic characters in the American West all passed through the doors of Deadwood at one time or another. So I think all those things, it really was that melting pot, and it had some of those pivotal moments in the American West that draws people to the town.
So from a historical perspective, do you find that sort of idea of community out of chaos is legitimate? Is that a real reflection of life in a real Deadwood?
It really does seem like it was. Yeah. You know, it is true that the show did play up very much in the three seasons of the show. It really was that lawless nature of it. And you did see throughout the evolution of the show how the town formed, a halfway government. And then the counties began to be created. And it shows some of the evolution of the real Deadwood. And that really seems to be what it was like. It started as a very crazy, lawless mining town. And slowly over the next few years, government developed within the town. It developed within the territory. And then the territory became a state. And Deadwood was incorporated, and all of those principles that happened in real life of a lawless mining camp growing into a city of commerce within a territory and then within a state and government bringing itself to all of those different levels was all true. And that's pretty much what happened in the show to one degree or another. And obviously when the show got cut after three seasons, we didn't get to see a ton of that, but that is somewhat where the movie then picks up with. The movie is set against the backdrop of statehood for South Dakota. So they're again kind of getting back into that world of the real backdrop, but a fictitious storyline built in there.
Okay, so I'm dying to ask you this because as you describe it, it sounds optimistic and almost the opposite of a post-apocalyptic show, which shows, you know, community and cultures just sort of falling apart, you know, things that we thought, you know, we're stable or no longer stable, institutions crumble. Is this the opposite? Is this sort of, is it optimistic? Would you use that word?
probably not.
Right? That seems like not the right word.
Optimism is never a word that I would have thrown in there, but it's really interesting that you phrase it that way because I think it's a lot of fun. It's probably the most apocalyptic, non-apocalyptic show that you could imagine, that it is. It's very brutal. There's death and destruction all over the place, but yet at the same time, it is still moving forward and progressing towards stability. It's not digressing and becoming less stable. So it's kind of doing both at the same time. That's really interesting. Yeah,
somebody's going to write a master's thesis about that right now.
If they haven't already, I have no doubt. Yeah, I'm sure that there are several in the works. And in fact, I believe there is a book, you know, in my interview with that actor, he mentioned that there is a book being written about the TV show Deadwood right now. And there are a couple famous TV critics who have written about it in other books that talked about a whole generation of TV. But now it sounds like there is a specific standalone book about Deadwood coming out. So I think we're about to see in publication a master's thesis about this.
All right. So tell me about some of your productions and your work with the stories of the West.
It evolves out of my love of the Old West and my growing up watching Western movies with my family and listening to Western audio dramas on road trips, which were almost always out to the West when we would try to go on family vacation. So I'd always loved the Old West. I'd always loved the filmmaking side of it and the books and the audio books. And so eventually I got addicted to podcasts as podcasts became much more popular and I understood what they were. And I got really invested in them and I decided I really wanted to try to make my own podcast. And so based on my upbringing and my interests, there was really the perfect marriage was to try to create a podcast about the Old West and that really told all the true stories that I'd seen little bits and pieces of in movies. But, you know, movies are movies. They're meant to be entertaining. They're not documentaries. They're not meant to be entirely factual. So I wanted to tell the true history of a lot of the things I'd seen in movies. And I wanted to do it, but in a way that's like a TV show. So that's how I structured my podcast. I would take one big story and break it down into pieces and tell you that story from start to finish in a series of episodes and release each episode on a week-to-week basis. So it kind of feels like you're, it almost becomes an audio TV show. So you get four, five, 6 weeks of half an hour episodes that tell you, and I hope a dramatic, entertaining fashion, you know, a big story from a particular time period in American history.
Hmm. All right. Tell us about a recent episode. How are they packaged?
Well, the season that just started just this past Sunday is about the Texas Rangers. And so I took a 20-year block of history of Texas history and the Texas Rangers, the famed law organization from the early years of Texas. So I'm telling stories. I've woven together a series of stories that take place from 1840 to 1860. So kind of right after Texas becomes a republic and then right up to the doorstep of the Civil War. And I've picked some of the major Texas Rangers characters there who are all kind of early inductees into the Texas Rangers Hall of Fame. And I've woven their stories together in the events that happened in that time period. And so that's the product that's coming out right now. And in the past, I guess I kind of alluded to this, I did a whole season on Tombstone and the gunfight at the OK Corral. So all the events that led up to that and the aftermath. And I did a whole season on the entire career of Jesse James, all 16 years of his history. So it's, you know, it can cover a lot of ground, which makes it, you talked about master's thesis. I end up reading hundreds of pages of research to be able to pull it off. So each one almost feels like a huge master's thesis.
So you're combining your film education and experience with your journalism education and experience for this epic audio narrative nonfiction.
Exactly. If you don't mind me stealing that, I think I'm going to take that line. That's probably the best way I've heard it described.
It's long form narrative nonfiction.
It very much is. Yeah. So it's like an audiobook to a degree. I am a single narrator telling you a story, but I also put music and sound effects with it to fill out the world. So it really does, become kind of a dramatic presentation, but there isn't a cast of characters or anything like that. So it's kind of a hybrid, but yeah, that's a great way to put it.
All right. Legends of the Old West and Infamous America podcast. My guest has been Chris Wimmer, who is always welcome to come back, and you can see him at the Homestake Adams Research and Cultural Center, noon local time on Thursday, May 2nd. Hey, Chris, come back and talk to us again.
Would love to. Thank you very much.